This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something died.
You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
It says my lawn is unsightly.
What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon. Today we have a very interesting guest, and we're going to talk all about audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns. And can an association waive these legal requirements, and what's the cost? Now, you guys might think that this stuff is kind of boring, but we have some really good, juicy stuff for you today. For an example, do you suspect your board or management company stealing from your association? What about embezzlement, kickbacks, bribes, or other misappropriation of your association funds? Well, we have the guy that's going to answer all those questions for you. That and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection.
Our guest today is Thomas Edward Page, better known as Eddie. Eddie is a CPA and the principal owner of Page & Company out of Safety Harbor, and he has 18 years' experience in the Common Interest Realty Association industry. They prepare audits, reviews, compilations for homeowner, condominium, and cooperative associations in compliance with Florida statutes. He also prepares approximately 600 association tax returns per year. Wow, that's a whole lot of returns.
That is a lot of returns.
To ensure compliance with the AICPA guidelines and to maintain and improve their auditing qualities, his firm is periodically peer-reviewed by an independent CPA firm. I like that. So, Eddie, I'd like to welcome you to the show as well as your lovely wife, Mary.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, Mary.
Say hi.
Hi, everyone.
So, Eddie, let's get started.
Sure.
What are the year-end financial statement requirements?
Well, for condominium homeowners associations, the Florida statutes state the requirements for year-end financial statements. For condominiums, it's stated under Section 718 of the Florida Statutes. Homeowners Associations, it's Chapter 720. Mm-hmm. And for both of them, it's basically the same. If your association has gross revenue over $150,000, you're required to have a CPA prepare your year-end financial statements.
Okay.
So anything over 150 grand?
Anything over 150 grand. There used to be an exception that if you had to meet 50 units and over 150 grand to have CPA prepared financials.
So
you had to meet both.
So that's changed, right?
That's changed as of July 1st, 2017.
Well, what's the reason for that? What's the reason for the change?
It makes sense to me to have a CPA prepared financial statements. It should be based on revenues. It doesn't matter whether you have 10 units, 5 units. If you've got more than $150,000,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Have a CPA come and prepare the financials.
So that includes co-ops, condos, HOAs, timeshares. I mean, that's everything, right? Or just condos?
Right. Mostly condominium homeowners associations. It does apply to co-ops. Timeshares are a little bit different. They're required to have audits each year and sent to the state of Florida.
I know this is probably an obvious question, but I'm going to ask it anyway so our listeners can kind of get a better understanding as to what is an audit. Maybe you can kind of define an audit for us.
Yeah, an audit is where we go in and we actually do analytical procedures on the books. So the management company, usually most associations have a management company, prepare financial statements. We take those financial statements and we trace back some of the accounting transactions. We'll verify cash, and we'll do it through third parties. So we'll contact banks. How much cash did they have in the banks? And the banks will contact us, and we'll verify that with what was reported on the financial statements.
And suppose you're self-managed. How does that work?
It's the same thing. I mean, even if you're self-managed, you've got to produce some kind of financial statements. You know, balance sheet, income statement. And that's what we take. That's what we audit from. That's what we prepare financial statements from.
All right. So, what is a forensic audit, why would you want one? I mean, is there a special situation that would require that?
Forensic audits are more for legal purposes. It's usually if there's securities fraud, bankruptcy, business partner, disputes. Sometimes the only time you'll see it in this industry, the only time I've seen it is where one association had money stolen, and the insurance company hired a forensic audit team to come in and see how much was stolen so that they could pay out. They needed to know the number. So all a forensic audit is just producing a schedule that, is legally valid, so that certain activity can be.
Right. So really the difference between a forensic audit versus a regular audit is they do more testing, or they do more background checking on certain things?
Yeah, forensic audit will trace everything down to the specific transactions. So a lot of times it'll be, Monday morning, the CEO of a big company walks in, all his computers have had the hard drives missing. A forensic auditor will go in and figure out, what was on those drives, maybe looking to see if there's overseas transactions, it's money transferred overseas.
Right.
Usually it's the bigger CPA firms that handle big stuff like that.
Well, you definitely would do a forensic audit, for an example, for a condo or an HOA, right?
Well, we wouldn't do what's specifically called a forensic audit because that's more for legal purposes. What we do, an audit is, when we look at transactions, there's a concept called scope. Scope tells us how many of the transactions we look at.
Right.
Maybe depending on how the financial statements are recorded, we may take a small sample, we may take a big sample. That's the scope. So if someone comes in and says, hey, we think there's money missing, we think there's some impropriety here, we'll use a bigger scope. We'll look at more transactions. Sometimes I look at every single transaction.
Now, we know that certain associations, based on their revenue, are required to have an audit. I think that's, over 400,000? Is that still?
It's 500,000.
It's 500,000?
Over 500,000.
Okay, so anything over 500,000, they're legally required to have an audit, unless, of course, the membership waives it. Is that correct?
Right. So for both condominium homeowners associations, if they each have over 500,000 of income, gross revenue, then they're required to have an audit.
All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say about the waiving. They can waive it, both Condominium Homeowners Association. They can waive it each year.
Every year. Now, it used to be they could waive it every 3 years.
For condominiums, could waive it every 3 years. They could only waive it 3 years. Fourth year, they had to do the statute-required financial statements.
Now, I think the law has changed, right?
Right. Now, condominiums, just like homeowners before, they can waive it every single year. As long as it's before the end of the year and the memberships vote on it, then they can waive it every year.
What other legal requirements, other than what we just spoke about, why would an association want to have an audit? I mean, can they just, out of the clear blue, say, we want an audit?
Sure they can. The Florida statutes just sort of give guidelines. If it's over 500,000, that's high enough where you probably want to have an audit. For most associations, 4,500 to 7,500, 1% of your gross revenue to pay an audit. I think that's cheap to have an independent CPA come in, look at your financial statements, and some of the reasons you, you know, not only the revenue part, but, you know, if there's a change in management company,
right,
you may want to have a CPA come in and look at it. Change in board of directors.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we kind of touched on this earlier, but if you're doing an audit, what would you do if you suspect fraud or theft from a management company or a board member? So would you just do a regular audit or the forensic audit? I mean, what would you do?
Well, what we do is, before the audit, we question why they're having the audit. You know, is it just to meet Florida statutes? Do they suspect something? A lot of times where there has been fraud, there has been theft, you know, there's a lot of smoke. And a lot of times you see the smoke, it's easy to follow the smoke and find the fire.
Right. Well, it's kind of, you're in an awkward position, especially if you're hired by either a management company or a board of directors to do an audit. And then as you, you know, are in the process of your audit, you're finding that there's some misappropriation of funds maybe, or some theft from a board member.
Right.
I mean, how do you go back to the president and say, you know, I know you signed this engagement letter, but you're busted. I mean,
well, you'd always go whenever you suspect fraud like that, you go up to the next highest executive level. So if it's, you know, maybe if it's the board, maybe I'd go to the management company. If it's a board member, you know, treasurer, I'd go to the president. You know, if it's the president or the treasurer, maybe the management company, and we coordinate collecting the information and going to the proper authorities, et cetera. So it's, you know, there's a procedure for that.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine that you've experienced a lot of crazy scenarios out there. So can you just kind of tell us, share a little bit about that, what you found during audits?
Well, yeah, you know, with technology now, bank statements, I've seen where bank statements were scanned in Adobe, altered, and then given to board members.
Oh, wow.
You know, where the...
I would have never thought to do that.
So they actually manipulated the bank statement itself.
Yeah.
So, but with an audit, you actually go to the bank and get the bank statements, right?
That's one reason why we do that. Because
you don't find that very often, though, right?
I mean, no, it's rare. I mean, that must have been tough.
Well, it's true. You know, you get a lot of homeowners and even board members that think that their management company or their board are stealing from them, when they just don't understand the process, and rarely does that happen. I mean, wouldn't you say that, Eddie?
Right. Yeah. Because a lot of times you've got the separation of duty. You've got the board of directors. You've got the management company, and with the by having a management company, you've got someone there to look at each invoice. You've got a manager that's probably going to contact the vendor to trim your trees or cut your lawn. So your manager knows to expect certain invoices.
And this is your time to plug Ameritech Community Management, Eddie.
That's right.
Management companies are good at providing separation of duties. Yeah, so if you're a condominium homeowners association, it's good to have a management company. For that separation of duties, you know, someone looks at the check before it's cut, they see its invoice, you know, and then signature on the check. So,
right.
You know, a CPA likes seeing that, seeing all the...
Right. Now you do quite a few audits for us, I will say, and you do a very good job.
Yes.
In fact, you've been doing audits for us and reviews and compilations for probably the past 20 years, pretty close, right?
Right, since 98.
Yeah. So how are we doing, by the way? Do we have enough controllables in there? I mean, I'm trying to plug myself here, so.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of people in your office, so, you know, you've got a lot of separation of duties.
All right, well, that's good. That's a plug for us.
Yes. All right, so what exactly is a review then?
Well, a review is less than an audit. An audit is where we actually trace transactions to their point of origin, an actual invoice, actual bank statement, an actual canceled check. A review, we use analytical analysis. We'll compare actual to budget. We'll look at the current year expense, compare it to prior year expense. And if we see anything that's out of balance, that's over budget, we'll take a look at that and see why was it over budget.
So why would it require CPA, though? Because can't your most property managers or Ameritech's property managers knows, you know, to compare the actual versus the budget. So what would, you know, why would they bring in a CPA for that?
Well, part of it for review is because we do the financial statements on an accrual basis. If we see maybe excess expenses, one, we'll see if, you know, maybe it should have been recorded as reserve instead of an operating expense. Maybe it should be, maybe it's a expense for a prior year. You know, if you paid it in January and I go to the invoice and it says the work was performed in December of the prior year, then when we prepare the financial statements on an accrual basis, will record that expense in the year it was incurred.
So right. Plus, Florida statutes requires it to be independent as well.
Right. It has to be independent. Financial statements have to meet general accepted accounting principles. Right.
And you are independent. You don't work for Ameritech,
that's
obviously.
Right. Separate
right.
company.
Yeah, they're separate companies. So, and you work, in essence, for the association when you're engaged. Is that correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Right. I work for the association.
What's the difference in, you know, what's the major difference between an audit and a review then? I mean, we know that it's a step down from an audit versus
right,
a review.
An audit's more detailed.
Right.
Like I said, we're actually going to trace transactions to the original source. A review, we won't necessarily do that. If something looks out of whack, out of sync, then we will trace it a little, you know, to see why. You know, if it's one invoice that was, you know, an expense, we may go look at that that invoice.
Okay. Right, right. Now, what's the requirement income-wise from an association? Now, we know the audit's $500,000, correct?
Right, right. That's correct.
Now, what's the legal requirement to get a review? Is that like $250,000?
A review is $300,000 okay. to $500,000.
So if the income is over $300,000 to $500,000, it's mandated that they must have a review done. Otherwise, it needs to be waived by the membership.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
Now, with that in mind, we go down a step further to a compilation.
Right. And a compilation is for if your gross revenue is between $150,000 and $300,000. Okay. And it's a step down from a review. We don't audit information. We don't do analytical procedures. We prepare the financial statements on the, using fund accounting on the accrual basis. We've got the operating fund, the reserve fund, and it's basically just a report. We don't dig any deeper.
Right. It's just making sure that all the numbers are properly put in order,
or at least generally balance out.
Well, let's say we have an association that wants to engage a CPA for any of these types of reports that we've talked about. What would be the cost?
Now, I know that's kind of hard because it's probably different from
average,
different CPAs.
Yeah, but an average, you know, just so they have an idea of the difference in the
even
cost.
Though you're the most competitive.
Okay.
Well, and the best.
Part of the ways we're competitive is we do so many. So.
That's true.
You know, so we've got
everything. 600 tax returns. I mean, you got to get
that
confused.
That is incredible.
Now, how do you keep him from getting confused?
I take care of that end. Computers, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, she's good. You got to have a staff to keep track of everything. So we're used to it by now. She's been working with me. My wife, Mary, you just heard on the radio, has been working with me for
the boss.
Gosh, over 10 years now. So she keeps track, helps me keep track of all the paperwork and stuff. And what's one good thing about being in a niche market is you get to know how to be efficient and everything. So we can do tax returns quickly. Financial statements are always going to take more time because they're always more involved.
So if you're doing an association's tax returns, for an example, and they need a compilation, review, or audit, that's something you probably treat them a little more favorable since you're already doing their tax returns, right?
Sometimes, but we have to do the same amount of time for compilation, review, or audit that we have to do no matter what.
Right.
It's just we're a little bit more efficient. That's why our prices are, you know, can be a little bit lower because
right.
we're more efficient.
Now, you are, that's what you specialize in. I mean, you guys specialize in condos, HOAs.
Right.
That's our niche.
Co-ops and timeshares. That's
yes.
your niche for the
That's
most
our
part.
Niche.
Do you do anything else other than community association type accounting work?
Sure. We do cooperatives. We do a little bit of timeshares.
Okay.
In this industry.
Okay. So let me ask you about some of the reports. What is a cash disbursement and expenditures report? What is that?
That's the lowest. If an association doesn't meet the requirements for compilation, review, or audit,
right.
or the membership votes to waive it before the end of the year, they're required to have a cash receipts disbursement report. And a lot of times it's just that management report. And it's basically an income statement on the cash basis. So if the management company does their income statement on the cash basis, that's the cash disbursement, cash receipt disbursement report.
Is there like an income level? Like, you know, we've got an income level with regards to the compilation and the review and the audit. A cash disbursement report, is it like for associations under 50 units or something?
No,
or?
It's just $150,000. Less than $150,000.
Less than $150,000, that's all they're required
to do? You don't even have to vote.
Right.
Like with compilation reviews and audits, you have to vote with the cash receipt. You don't have to vote for it. It's automatically.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, Eddie. Community associations, are they required to pay sales tax? I know that's probably a silly question, but
yeah, well, you know, in the state of Florida, everybody, they want everybody to pay sales tax.
Well, but, of course,
yeah. You know. But I mean, there are certain situations where the association has to pay sales tax if they rent out the clubhouse. Some homeowners associations, you know, have huge clubhouses. They have golf courses, pro shops. They've got rooms where they'll have massive weddings, receptions. So that type of activity is going to be subject to sales tax.
So if they got like a pro shop or retail establishment, then that benefits the association. Then obviously they're selling items, so they got to collect sales tax in that process.
Right, that type of income is subject to sales tax.
So is an association required to collect and pay sales tax on income then?
Right, so like if you have a social club.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, we have associations that have, I don't know what they're called, kind of like, people who want to give up items that the association can sell, and they're making money, so flea market type of situation. And they make a lot of money, and they put that towards their social events.
If it's the actual association doing the selling,
yes,
then they're required to collect sales tax. Like social dances, sometimes you have a New Year's Eve. Technically, you're supposed to collect sales tax.
Even those silly little meatloaf potluck type dinners that they have, that they're collecting.
Technically, my understanding is they're supposed to collect sales. Now, what I would do is, if you have any questions, specific questions, you know, you can ask your CPA, ask an attorney. Hey, right, Here's the specific situation. Does this qualify for collecting?
And we've
sales
done that
tax
with you too. We've called you up and said, "Look, we got this situation." I mean, I could see Bobby getting hungry when I mentioned meatloaf and potluck dinners, right?
Yeah, and ding dongs for dessert.
Oh, there you go. There
I knew that you were going to say that.
Back to the ding dongs. I like that. What about foreclosed rental units that the association owns? I mean, you know how that works, and without getting into the details of that, but they collect rental income from units that they foreclosed. Are they required to pay sales tax on that income?
Not if the lease agreement is for more than 6 months. So there's 6 months and a day, where if it's longer than that, sales tax is not required to be collected. If it's shorter than that, then you're required to collect sales tax. And usually the attorney writing the lease agreement, he'll address that issue, you know, with the lease agreement. And generally it's written so you don't have to pay sales tax.
Well, that's interesting. Well, listen, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. We got some really good stuff coming back. 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at triniconllc.com.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Allegiance Development is a family-owned and operated business offering quality general contracting services in the greater Tampa Bay area. We offer a wide range of services, including commercial and residential construction, permitting, community stormwater management and repair, asphalt paving and maintenance, concrete restoration, disaster recovery, and much more. Our commitment and dedication applies to all projects, large or small. We have the expertise to offer fast and affordable solutions for all of your general contracting needs. Feel free to contact us at 727-584-1370 or visit our website at allegiancedevelopment.us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is certified public accountant Eddie Page from Page & Company. And we're talking all about audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, and much more. So, Eddie, let me ask you this. What's the difference between a not-for-profit organization versus a nonprofit organization? So, I mean, that's pretty close verbiage, right?
Right. And I get this question a lot. A board member will ask, why did we pay income tax? We're not-for-profit. Well, not-for-profit is an IRS designation. It's a 501c3, like the United Way, something like that. Right. You know, an association isn't a 501c3. They're under the Florida statute 617, I think it is, they're incorporated as not-for-profit, which means if a condominium homeowners associations has net income, if they have a surplus, they can't write checks to the owners. It can't be given back to the owners like a regular C corporation can pay dividends, and that's what they were trying to prevent. So you can't pay back. So a not-for-profit or a nonprofit under the Florida statutes simply means you can't write checks to the owners of surplus funds.
Okay.
Right.
So with that in mind, then, are there communities that are for-profit?
There are some cooperatives. You'll generally see as for-profit, and there's a tax advantage of that. But that's a complicated issue. I don't know if we want to get into that, but cooperatives could almost be a whole show.
Yeah, well, we have a couple of those cooperatives that are for-profit. They're very interesting because, you know, they can actually make a profit.
And then what they could do, they don't have to pay tax if they distribute. They can distribute the dividends back and not pay tax on it.
Right.
So that's one great thing about cooperatives being for profit is the fact that they can distribute earnings. And the IRS says, as a cooperative, you know, that's not taxable then. And they can do it before the end of the tax, before they file the tax return. So if they find out in March, hey, we've got a $100,000 net income, you return it to the cooperative shareholders, and they don't have to pay tax.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, well, back to the accounting end of things. What's the difference between cash accounting versus accrual accounting? And I know that there are people out there that love the accrual and there's others that like the cash. So what are the advantages of one and the other? So.
Well, when a CPA prepares financial statements, they have to do it on the accrual basis. So whenever you have a CPA prepared financials, it's accrual basis, which means we recognize income when it was earned, not when it was paid. So that's why you'll see owner receivables. You'll see prepaid assessments. Those are on the balance sheet. The income statement will show the owner assessments accrued, you know, per the budget.
Well, for example, we do modified, and correct me if I'm wrong, modified accounting. So if they have a theoretically $100,000 insurance policy that needs to be paid, we will accrue that as opposed to just expensing it in the balance on their budget and affecting their budget, right?
Well, no, I think what you do, you expense it. You actually expense it. So your income statement is more cash basis. So the owner assessments, the actual cash coming in, all the expenses are actual cash being paid. So if you paid $100,000, you see it as $100,000. Now, the management reports prepared by the management company, they can be in any format. They don't have to be accrual. They can be cash. They can be modified accrual. You know, they can be in any format as long as the board understands it. That's the main.
Right. Well, for the most part, the law says it's got to be at least in a cash format, generally acceptable to accounting practices, correct?
Right.
Right. And typically, we do cash modified. So will accrual, like insurance, be large sums of insurance that come in maybe mid-year when their fiscal period ends, like, you know, December 31st or whatever, and it comes in June. also will accrue prepaid and delinquencies as well. So we reflect
on the balance
those.
Sheet. That's
yes,
correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Well, you know our financial statements for the most part.
Yeah, and by having the income statement on the cash basis, that meets the minimum requirement under the
right.
Florida statute.
Right. Well, plus it's easier. Most people understand cash accounting as opposed to fully accrual accounting. Accrual accounting can be somewhat a little deceiving, can it?
I think so, too.
Well, it's not to a CPA, because the reason we do accrual accounting is we recognize 1 year you may pay your $100,000 insurance policy in December.
Right.
Next year, you may pay it January the next year. Mm-hmm. 1 year, you'll show, zero insurance. If you're on the cash basis, you show zero insurance because one check was written in December, previous year, next check was written January the next year. Accrual, we recognize it when it was the period covered, the expense covered. So, and the advantage is when you look at accrual balance sheet income statement, you can compare it to prior years. So you can compare insurance on a year each year, because if one says $100,000, one says zero, that doesn't tell you anything.
Right.
But on
right.
accrual basis, you'll see the insurance accrued, and then you can compare what you paid insurance over the 12 months ending 12/31/16 compared to the insurance paid over 12 months 12/31/17.
Right.
As
right.
it's allocated per month for the year.
Right. I see. What about depreciation? I know that some community associations, or especially the for-profit ones, can they take depreciation?
Cooperatives, which are for-profit, they'll always take depreciation. Matter of fact, the IRS requires it for them, but for condominium and homeowners association, generally no. Condominiums, they're tenancy in common, so everything owned by the condominiums is really owned by all the owners. So the association, which is a separate corporation, they're not going to depreciate any assets.
Right.
For homeowners associations, some really big ones that have restaurants and golf pro shops, they'll recognize depreciation because they have income. And the assets are actually owned by the association. It's not a tenancy in common like it is with
right.
condominium.
Well, let's say they have like workout equipment, pool furniture. I mean, do they just expense that and put it on the balance sheet as an asset? Or do they can they depreciate those?
For condominium, for purposes of our financial statements, we don't show them as assets.
Okay.
Now, the management reports can show them as assets.
Well, we do. We do show them on the balance.
That way you have a way of keep track of,
right.
how many pool chairs you have. You
right.
want to know, when you purchase it, you can always look the general ledger. You got it separated there. So sure, you can do that on your management reports.
Okay, so let me ask you, how should a balance sheet be set up for an association? For example, should the reserves be placed in the liability column? And what does the prior year or your equity capital accounts mean? Can you explain all that? Because I know nothing about this.
Well, yeah, a balance sheet's your assets, and then your liabilities and your equity.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got and your equity is two things. It's your operating fund, which is your like your retained earnings, and your reserve fund. So your reserve fund is based on the budget, how much you funded your reserves, less any expenditures. That's, so you've got fund cash, reserve fund cash, and that should equal reserve fund equity.
Well,
so those should equal on the balance sheet.
On the reserves, can I just ask a question? Should that be pooled, or should it be separated by?
I thought you said you didn't know anything about that.
I do know that.
She's heard that terminology
That's
before.
One thing I do know. I mean, is it better to go one way or the other? Because if it's pooled, that means that, hey, this year we've got to paint, so we got the money. But, if you don't have enough reserves for painting, it's like, oh, we got a problem.
Yeah, I mean, getting into reserves, there's two types. One's the component reserves, where you list each reserve component, your painting, your paving, if you have a pool, if you have a root condominium, you've got a roof, you may have a clubhouse. So you've got all those components listed, and you estimate the useful life of each, and you estimate the replacement cost of each. And that's how you prepare the budget. And each year, you put that amount into
right.
each component.
Well,
and then you can only use the cash
right.
in each component
right.
for that
right.
specific.
So is it better
use.
To pool?
I like the pooling. Florida statutes allow associations to pool the reserve funds. It takes a membership vote to do that. But
well,
I think that's a...
Well, the confusing part with board members and homeowners is they see what's in their money market and their operating account, and it might be, let's say hypothetically, $200,000. Meanwhile, all that money could be allocated in the liability section on their reserves, regardless if it's pooled or if it's straight lined. And I prefer the straight line method because that kind of holds the board of directors to the to their, you know, to their specific items, like whether it be painting, paving, or roofing. And but you know, a lot of board members or a lot of homeowners think when they look at a balance sheet that, well, we have all this cash, but they don't realize that it's spent or it's allocated towards painting, paving, roofing, or some of these other liability accounts.
I mean, right now. I also have the question, though, if you can add to this, is that they can they borrow from the reserves? And if they do and put it into their operating account, do they have to refund it within
and
a certain amount of time?
Yeah, that's a big no-no. But,
yes.
But to go back to,
I know it is, but it's been done.
But to go back to the pooled reserves, you know, you talk about people seeing the components, how much is in each. You could still have the pooled reserves, and you could have these buckets reported somewhere else. You could have it on the budget to show, you know, how you're allocating it, but still have the pooled on the balance sheet for that.
Right.
So
you
could still do that.
Right.
Okay.
That's interesting.
As far as borrowing from reserve, that's a big no-no under the Florida statutes.
Right.
No, okay.
It requires a member. If you're a condominium, that requires any money's taken out of reserves. If it's not for a specific reserve expenditure, then it requires membership approval beforehand for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we know that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that,
though.
Yeah, right. All right, I think, Bobby, do we have a caller on the line?
Yes, we do. First up, we have Patty.
Hello, Patty. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection.
Hi. Enjoy your show. I love hearing the questions, and I have a good one.
You have a good one?
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Better than ours.
We had a special assessment for roofs.
Okay.
And everybody's talking. Of course, it's rumors or whatnot. But the rumor is that the board allocated too much money for these special assessments for these roofs. And there's going to be a lot of money left over.
Oh.
Now, a lot, you know, a good amount. So are they required to refund the homeowners? Were they miscalculated? I mean, do they get to keep this money?
That's a good question.
What happens to this money?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they can return it. Now, if whenever they wrote up the little special assessment for the membership to vote on, usually they'll say that they need, you know, $300,000 for roofs. And if it costs less than that, then the remainder is going to go somewhere else in reserves.
Okay, but let's say they didn't. Let's say it's, and I think that's what you're saying, Patty, is that let's say they special assessed for $300,000. The roofs came in at $250,000. What are they going to do? What are they going to do with the other $50,000? Is it like let's go out and party type time for the board?
It'd be nice, but
because I'd like to know who your board members are. You know,
my guess is without knowing anything.
I don't want to vote.
I'm just kidding, of course, but go ahead.
My guess, without knowing the more specifics, that it probably stays in roof reserves.
Okay.
Because it's reserves are capital improvements, major capital repairs. If it was a special assessment for a major roof repair, any excess, my guess would be it would still sit in roof reserves.
And I agree with you. And that's what would happen, Patty, is that money would be probably placed back into your roof reserve account. And at which point, the following year, when they did the reserve study on that particular item, they would take that $50,000 hypothetically into account and reallocate, you know, going forward.
Do they have to let the homeowners know, or should they let the homeowners know that extra money?
The homeowners are going to know when they actually go through the budget process. I mean, you'll be notified, and you'll be able to allow, right, Eddie? I mean, they'll be allowed to attend.
Right. Like I said, I've seen it a lot where when they pass a special assessment, they kind of, there's language there for any excess. So usually if they have the attorney help them write it, the attorney will say, well, let's add this language where if there's an excess, this is what it's used for. Because sometimes if you do roofs, you know, other troubles come up. You know, there's wood rot, there's, you know, and then there has to be painting. So a lot of that is determined in the special assessment that the members voted for.
Yeah, now, I have another thing. On the income statement, now you're talking about accrued and cash, and on our income statement, they do the maintenance fees accrued, but yet the expenses are, you know, cash paid out, you know, for the year.
Well, you got all sorts of good questions here, don't you, Patty?
Right, but, you know, that's not a perfect world. You don't get 100% of maintenance fees every night. every month, and so that's kind of falsifying exactly, you know, how much money you have.
Yeah, that's not uncommon for management companies to prepare it that way. Most management companies, they do the maintenance assessments on an accrual basis, so you actually have to go back and look and see what the prepaid assessments were, how much the receivables were, because they're reported on the balance sheet.
Right.
And then everything else is typically cash. The expenses are on the cash basis. That's typical how they do it. And a lot of times it's the computer software. The computer software, it's going to assess all the owners. You know, if it's $100 per month, you have 100 owners, it's going to assess everybody the $100. Well, the software's got to put it somewhere. So what it does, it debits accounts receivable, and it credits the owner's income, owner's assessment income.
Right.
So it kind of has to do that in the software. So because it's got to recognize receivables. When people pay, the receivables go down. If they overpay, it goes from a receivable to a prepaid owner's account. So it's sort of, you know, they're tied into how the software does it also.
Well, Patty, I hope we answered your question.
You did. It was very informative, and I appreciate all the info.
Hey, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Keep listening.
Okay.
All right. We're going to just – thank you. Thank you. All right. We're going to take a quick two-minute commercial break, and we'll be right back with more questions and callers with their questions.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Sun Paints and Coatings is your hometown paint store, family owned and operated for over 40 years. Sun Paints has 6 locations throughout Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco counties. Sun Paints and Coatings manufactures Daico brand paints in Tampa and is an authorized distributor of Benjamin Moore and PPG paints. Sun Paints and Coatings works closely with property management companies, HOAs, condo associations, and individual homeowners, helping ensure a great project. Trust the experts at Sun Paints and Coatings. Sun Paints is the best paint under the sun. Visit us at sunpaintsandcoatings.com.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey. What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me.
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now, we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trial Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at corlissbarfield.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you who are just tuning in, our guest today is Certified Public Accountant Eddie Page from Page & Company. And we're talking about audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns. So I have a real interesting question here for you, Eddie.
Okay.
We've had a situation in the past where a board member paid the association insurance policy on their own credit card. And then, of course, the association reimbursed that person the funds. And so this was done, well, you know, for their own purposes. Maybe it was to earn rewards or whatever. But
it was to earn rewards, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, since that's obviously a benefit to the individual, is that wrong to do?
Yeah, I would say that's a big no-no, especially with, you know, they've got this new Florida condominium law, the HB 6027, where it talks about kickbacks and illegal stuff. They're starting to crack down on board members profiting off the condominium. And
even if it's kind of indirect like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's almost more direct, because if they pay, some insurance policies are, you know, tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah,
that's 50. A big credit line.
They could get a significant
on that credit card.
It's almost like a kickback. So.
I mean, that's a lot of rewards. We could fly, fly around the world with that,
yes.
You know?
I'd be very careful of that.
Yes.
Especially now with the HB.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, listen, hey, Bobby, we got somebody else on the line, right?
Yes, we're going to go to Betty now.
Hi, Betty.
Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question?
All right. Thank you. Well, I stumbled onto some very interesting information about my board, and I think they're stealing the money.
Okay.
But I can't prove it. So I want to know what I can do with this information. Like, I would just love to go around and tell people, but I'm not sure what I'm really supposed to do.
Well, I'd be careful on that. But Eddie, what should you, let's say you were to do an audit on that association.
Well, the first thing we do is, you know, we look for smoke. So whenever we're approached about an audit, we ask, hey, you know, are you aware of any fraud? Do you know of any type of situations that may have occurred during the year that you want us to look at more carefully? And so basically, you have to provide us some smoke. You know, if you think the somebody's double billing you, if there's kickbacks, or if you think you're overpaying on certain expenditures, the vendors is overcharging, and you think somebody's getting kickbacks, you know, you need to communicate that to the CPA so they can look.
Well, what CPA, though? I mean, can a homeowner call the association's engaged CPA and say, hey, you know, I think they're doing this, or?
No. We're not allowed to talk to the owners. We can talk to the board, so they need to communicate it to the board. What they could do is, you know, at a board meeting, they can mention it so it's part of the minutes. They can send a letter so it's part of the official document.
And then at which point, when you're doing the audit, then you're going to look at those official documents
I read the minutes, I see someone stood up and said, hey, this is an issue I'm concerned about.
Well, Betty, hopefully we answered your question.
Thank you for calling us.
Okay. So in other words, I have to go to when I go to a meeting and there's these two particular people on the board, I have to get up and say that I have suspicion that some people are taking money from the fund? Is that what I do?
What I would do, I would write a letter. That way, when you write a letter, send it certified, it's required to be part of the condominium, the home, the association official records. And that way it's officially recorded.
But Betty, what I would say is be careful on accusing somebody that they're actually stealing.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you have some proof. I mean, I would request for a financial statement. I mean, certainly as a homeowner, you're entitled to that. So put a written request in for some of the financial records, and at which point, you know, then you can slowly either satisfy your concerns or, you know, prove that maybe some of your suspicions are correct.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. You helped a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay,
hey, Bobby.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bobby, do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, we do. We're going to go to Christy now.
Christine, hi. You're on the Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I was wondering, if my association decides to fully fund for their reserves, and I and most of the owners in my community would rather they special assess, should they put that to a vote? I mean, should we be able to vote on that?
I mean, I guess that's to keep the maintenance fees down. You want lower maintenance fees. Is that the way I understand that?
Yes.
What do you think, Eddie?
There's a process to do that under the Florida statutes. You'd have to look and see what that is. There is a way, a majority of members, if the board doesn't want to do it that way, I think there's, and that's really more of a legal question you can ask an attorney, but there's, the Florida statutes, I believe, has a procedure for if a majority of the membership wishes to have a special assessment, they basically can override the board of directors.
Well, yeah, you'd have
that's
to.
My understanding.
Yeah, you'd have to petition the board on that regard. I mean, although the board does have the authority to, even though the membership decided to, you know, or maybe they didn't even put it to a vote, frankly. And they just wanted to fully fund, right, Eddie?
Yeah, I don't know why a board wouldn't want to do it. I mean, they want more money. They'd rather fund reserves. They'd rather pass special assessments, et cetera, because then then the reserves are funded for rainy days when
Well, you got a board. You got a board on one hand that wants to fully fund to be proper fiscal planning and sound budgeting, whereas you got homeowners that don't want to fully fund because they don't want their assessments going up.
And if it's a majority doesn't want their assessments going up, then it's not going to go up because they have the right to vote for that.
Right.
If a majority wants a special assessment to fund reserves, the majority can, it's majority rules then for that.
Okay, Christine.
Apparently that happened before and they didn't do a vote. So me and a couple other people were really wondering.
Well, you know, I'd have a reserve study and just see how the reserve study, see where your reserves are.
Put a request put a request into the board to do a reserve study.
Okay, well, that's a great idea. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bobby, I see you're kind of winking at me. Does that mean we got another call?
He was winking at me, not you.
I hope he's winking at you.
Yes, I would hope so, too. Lastly, we have Sally on the line.
Sally.
Sorry, Sally.
He's winking at you, Sally. Hey, Sally. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
My question is, at our annual meeting, the homeowners voted to not have an audit done because we had just had one done previously, but the board went ahead and did one anyway. Can they do that?
Sure. Yeah. The board can always vote for a higher level. The Florida statute sort of sets the minimum. You know, if they're only required to have a compilation, the members or the can vote for a higher procedure being done. So,
Even though we
I don't know,
maybe had one done right before, like the year before, they could still go ahead and have another one done.
Sure, and I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, if you're in the territory where you're required to have an audit, you know, have an independent CPA come and look at it. You know, it's if you're over 500,000, it's 1% of your gross revenue.
So Eddie, let's say the membership, and I think I hear this right, the membership votes it down, but the board decides that they want to have an audit anyways. They can do that, right?
Yeah, my understanding, they can under the Florida statutes. Now, it may require an attorney to verify that, the specific language in the Florida statutes, but my understanding is you can always have a higher level than the state of Florida requires. Right. Lower level requires membership approval.
All right, well, hopefully we answered your question there, young lady.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Folks, did you know that Eddie Page has been providing accounting services for condominiums and homeowners associations for over 18 years? So if you're looking for an experienced CPA, look no further. Give Page and Company a call today. They're the right CPA firm that's going to make sure your community stays in compliance. Keep listening, folks. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company,
Look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.